Welcome one, welcome all to the Snail Trail 4x4 podcast. If you like going off-roading in Toyotas, wrenching on Toyotas, camping in Toyotas, and maybe even poking a little bit of fun at Toyotas, and of course, hearing about how fantastic radios are in Toyotas, as always, then this is the podcast for you. That's right, ladies and germs, my name is Tyler, and joining me on episode 273.
We're on 80s, buddy.
Oh, 283. Oh, man. Joining me on yet another episode. How's that? Does that work for you?
Yeah. We'll just cut out the last part. Okay,
thanks. Editing. And is my good buddy, Mr. Roll Your Eyes, Jimmy Jett. Mr. Rolling Eyes, how are you?
I'm good. Actually, I'll throw myself under the bus or something. Uh-huh. I don't know what I did, but I screwed up my ankle.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about that real quick?
Not really. I'm just getting old.
You're getting old? Corey was saying the same thing to me this morning.
Was he?
Yeah. He goes, I don't know. I just turned 33 yesterday and like all of a sudden everything's falling apart and I feel like shit. And I was like, 33? That's what he said.
I think he's lying about his age.
I think he's lying too.
Yeah. I don't know. I woke up in the middle of the night and my ankle was throbbing.
What, did you kick something?
No.
Did you kick assistant?
No. The assistant, I was like, oh man, my ankle. When I got out of bed in the morning, the assistant was like, what'd you do? Kick something in the shop? I was like, no, I don't know what I did. I literally think it was just, I slept so well last night for a good chunk of the night that my foot was put in an awkward position. Mm-hmm. And it, because of the, it's like sleeping on your arm, right? Yeah. Eventually you wake up because your arm's asleep and it's hurting. Uh-huh. I woke up because my foot was throbbing.
Interesting.
And it was hurting. And so I don't know why or what it was, but yeah, that happened.
Do you want to talk about your wrist injury you had a while back too?
Yeah. That was while I was sleeping also. I figured that one out. Did I tell you what that was?
Yeah.
So I like to sleep on my side, TMI, but I like to sleep on my side and I'll wrap my arm sort of down across the shoulder that's high on the side. Mm-hmm. I'll put it down onto like down and laying like
into
on
the
like,
bed.
Into the bed. Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I must have, my wrist must have kinked backwards and stretched my wrist out.
Yeah.
And made my wrist all sore. And I think that's the exact same thing with my foot. I mean, there was some other things kind of going on. Like we did have, there was an extra blanket on the bottom of the bed that added more weight on there than normally there. Mm. And so I don't know if the weight pushed it a funny direction to, or if I'm just getting old and fragile.
I think you're just getting old and fragile.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's what I'm here for, buddy.
Just bring me down to reality. I thought I was indestructible and then I broke myself while sleeping.
T-shirt. There's a t-shirt for you.
Yeah. Maybe it's just residual from our Patreon camping trip and it's just now starting to act up.
That wouldn't surprise me. Kicking some things into the snow.
Yeah.
That's all we're gonna say about that one.
This is that same foot.
Yeah. Speaking of the patron trip, I had a listener point something out to us that I didn't catch during the episode, but after he said it, I was like, he's so right.
What was that?
So we were talking about how the Forest Service lady was saying that we had to look up what campsites were open or not using technology before we go.
Sure. Yeah. Right? Okay. But she also said technology is getting away from them.
Yeah.
Is this what?
Yes.
Okay.
And she said, well, no, your campfire permits have to be printed up because not everybody has technology.
Right.
And I was like, hold on. And so after he pointed that out, I was like, fucking A, man. It makes me even more pissed.
Yeah. It is what it was, I guess.
Yeah. I ended up having a conversation with a lady who's very, very well connected about that situation. And I was like, hey, I'm just curious, you know, maybe you know the reason why we're not allowed to disperse camp in a quote unquote closed campground that's open.
Okay.
And she goes, you should be allowed to. And I was
really?
Like, what? And she goes, yeah, you should be allowed to. And so then I told her what happened. And she goes, oh, yeah, that lady sounds way out of line. I know her boss. Let me call Jeff and ask him what's going on. And I was like, oops. Oops, but not oops. I wasn't expecting it to go that far. But so apparently, supposedly, that lady that we encountered, the Forest Service lady, her boss is going to having some questions about the decisions she made.
Wow.
Yeah. So anyways, we'll keep you guys updated on that one, see how that goes.
That was not intentional.
No, it wasn't. But at the same time, I'm kind of happy that it's happening at the same time. So,
well,
we'll see how it goes.
I hope I think there just needs to be a line drawn on what technology is okay. Like if you have it downloaded on your phone and you have the virtual signature, not going into that whole issue again. There, but, you know, is that okay or not? And there needs to be a line drawn in the sand whether that's okay or not.
Yeah.
Right.
I agree.
And, you know, it needs to be discussed across the board about whether what is okay and what's not allowed.
Yeah.
And then once that's decided on, they need to tell everybody how to do it properly.
Yeah.
And not have things on the website that are clearly stated that a digital signature is okay, but you need to print it out.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, but even then, if we did that, we would have been in fault in her eyes because we didn't have a wet signature on it, even though it doesn't claim for it.
Yeah.
So I think there just needs to be, I don't want to say training, but there needs to be some sort of information given out to people that are going out and serving.
I think they just need to use common sense. Like, if the whole point, what is the point of a fire permit?
To show that you went through the air quote training and have an understanding of how to have a proper and safe fire.
Exactly. So if they question whether or not we went through that training, like we went through the time and the effort to forge a fire permit, rather than go through the 2 minutes it takes to watch this video and answer very common sense questions. Like, if they really think we went to that much effort to forge a fire permit, like, then just ask us a couple of the questions from the video.
Sure.
And that would answer whether or not we know what we're doing when it comes to having a safe fire, sure. Right?
Yeah. They just would need to know what those questions are.
And which I doubt they would.
Right.
Yes. So anyways,
At least look around the fire and go, do they have a source of water nearby? Mm-hmm. Do they have proper tools in case of an emergency? Have they properly cleared the area? You know, do you have your fire permit?
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah. So anyways, I think that just common sense needs to be practiced a little bit more and figure out what the point of that part, what the point of the rule is, and see if people are attempting to follow the point of that rule rather than getting all caught up on a protocol, I guess, protocol issues. Yeah.
In a way, I felt it as, you know, she came on in a little hot because we drove through a gate that wasn't a gate.
Yeah.
And the snow covered the fact that there was stuff there to prevent from coming blockage. In, you know? And so I think it was just like, there's that problem. What other problems can we find?
Yeah.
I did appreciate her though, that she was pointing out our flaws and trying to teach us the proper way.
To an extent, yes.
Even though
we had to ask about it and we had to inquire and be like, hey, okay, we get it. What is the proper way then? And that's when she started trying to educate, I guess. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
All right. Enough of that.
Okay.
Let's move on.
All right. So Thursday's episode is today. Happy Thursday, everybody. We're coming up here on the end of the month. Seems like it's coming quicker and quicker. We have, let's see, a really cool giveaway going on this month from We Be Knives and Bandit Concealment. It's a K-Bar 1 pound camping knife. That's really like
a kitchen knife.
It could be a kitchen knife.
You could cut your broccoli with this.
And I guess you can cut a lot of things with it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh man,
could be your camping knife, could be your kitchen knife, it could be your like everyday carry knife. Actually, I don't know.
Maybe
I think there's a law.
Maybe if you're Crocodile Dundee,
yeah. How long your blade can be.
Yeah. So anyways, thank you guys. Definitely go check them out for all of your knife or custom sheathing needs. They do some really cool work. They've got some really cool options available, and they're super knowledgeable in what they do. So even if you just have questions about knives and you know what makes a knife a knife, Derek has, there's way more info than I thought there was ever supposed to be for knives. So check them out. Some really cool stuff they got going on. You can see them all over Instagram. And then Weeby Knives has their website out of San Francisco. So check those guys out. Let's see. The February's giveaway is off to Estonia. So I'm sorry if anybody was looking to hopefully get a redraw. No redraws happening for February.
I had a panel arrive in Germany.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the furthest I've had one sent. It was a tundra panel, too.
They have tundras in Germany? I think we talked about this, didn't we?
A little bit. Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, they must, or he brought it. He somehow came to America or is from America.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's military. I got the sense that he's German that came to America, must have bought a tundra and brought it back and then found my product online and wanted a Green Bay Packers custom etched design on it. And at the time it was too large for my laser, so I had Lee over at Solve Function cruising to camp do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then sent it out, and I got confirmation the other day that it arrived safely and looks great on the truck. So
which shipping provider did you use?
UPS for that
UPS one. Okay, because I've been sending stuff internationally via postal service.
Mine's too large for their international.
Oh, gotcha. But they have sucked.
Oh,
it seems like
it's also too large for DHL.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
I think it's only postal service UPS
and United Postal Service,
maybe FedEx. I haven't looked into that.
So anyways, I was, I'm getting a little fed up with USPS, international shipping. Seems like they lose 40%.
Oh my gosh.
It's bad.
That's really bad.
Luckily, I get everything insurance on it and getting stuff back, but it's just like the customers end up waiting 2 to 3 months for product because USPS can't get their head out of their ass.
I've come to the realization that the insurance is for loss, not damage.
Correct. Yeah. Complete loss.
If they damage your package, you didn't package it properly.
Well. Yeah.
Yep. But if they lose it, then you can use the insurance.
Yeah, exactly.
So they're like, oh man,
dang it. So anyways, good old fun business shipping logistics. So speaking of shipping logistics, the 10.6 compressor should be landing anywhere from a week to 3 weeks from now. So the wait list is officially full on this batch of 100 units, but we should have another 200 units coming. My guess is it'll probably land mid-June here in California. So,
wow.
We've got that coming, as well as some other goodies to announce in the near-ish future for more Flate. Let's see. We have coming up in April 16th, is the meetup for High Water Brewing over at High Water Brewing for Snail Trail 4x4. So make sure you guys, everybody come out. Everybody is invited to that one. It's not just patrons only. It's not just listeners only. If you have some buddies that you want to bring out too, bring them on out. Just no Jeeps allowed.
Perfect. So,
yep. That's our only rule. I might have to take my Rubicon decals off of the 4Runner then.
I was going to say Rodney can drive his Ford down.
There you go.
Just don't bring the lattes.
Yeah, no Jeeps, no Dodges. Oh, does that mean Chris doesn't get to go
Chris
now?
Chris can't go at all. He's going to have to ride with Jason.
Yeah, I know, right? And then James and Rhonda are going to have to bring the Samurais down.
Yeah, drive those down the freeway.
Well, that just means also Kevin Poole will bring the 4Runner down.
That's perfect.
Instead of his Dodge. Yeah. So. Anyways, let's see. I think that about does it for bookkeeping stuff, background info.
I think it was roughly, a little over 2 years ago now when we had our Snail Trail meetup in January of 2020. That was the last time Chris said he was ever going to drive his Jeep on the road.
That's true. Yeah.
So glad we could get one more Jeep off the trails or off the roads there.
Yeah. We're helping out California, getting one Jeep gone at a time. So let's see. That does it. I got nothing else. What were you up to this weekend?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Not really.
Eh.
I did a lot I did a lot of laser stuff.
Yeah. You get to play with lasers.
I got to play with lasers. So for those that haven't been listening to the podcast or not paying attention to social media, I got my own laser, and it's a friggin' massive machine. It's a nice big machine. Almost literally twice as large as the one that we have now here at the Morflight studio.
Yeah.
Morflight warehouse.
Yeah, I'm getting a little bit of a size envy.
Are you? Moment.
Yeah.
Well, just think, we could fit like
200 bucks, 300 at a time.
You don't need it.
No.
But yeah, so it's so I got that up and running on Thursday. Mm-hmm. And then played with the lasers, both cleaned Tyler's up to give it back to him, because now that I have my own, I don't need to have his taking up space in my shop.
Yeah right.
Get this out of here. Plus he needs it, and he's got, you know, work for it, and the work that we were trading, you know, still needs to get done. So cleaned his laser up, tried to make it almost as new as possible.
Just about. I mean, it was in pretty good shape. We didn't have to align anything. We didn't have to realign the tables, clean the mirrors or anything like that, mess with the focusing lens. So good. We literally plugged it in, turned it on, and kind of let it run for a little bit, ran a couple test shots, and then ran a couple pucks to show Morflight Sean how it all works. And then it was funny because I didn't think that I gave him that good of a tutorial. But then when I showed up this morning, he already had a batch going all by himself.
Sweet.
So
that's awesome.
Yeah, he's a quick learner.
Yeah.
He's a smart dude.
And that's good to hear. I probably spent at least an hour cleaning that machine. Mm. I re-greased it. I mean, the powder coating is just dirty.
Yeah, it is.
It makes a mess. And it smells bad. So I needed to run the ventilation and everything outside. And anyway, I cleaned that thing almost. I mean, I'm sure there's doors that you could open to get into maybe some of the electronics that I wasn't able to, you know, stick a rag between. Just, I didn't want to mess anything up. But I blew it out. I took the whole thing outside. I blew it out.
Okay.
With the air compressor. And man, did some shit come out. Brought it back in, wiped it down with some microfiber cloths, then wetted microfiber cloths and wiped it down again. And then cleaned all the rails and everything, and then did some white lithium grease on it and re-greased the rails. Mm-hmm. And then I cleaned all the mirrors. Then I realigned the machine. Then I leveled the table. Mm-hmm. And then I shot a batch of pucks.
Okay.
It was dirtier than I'd like to admit. And I'm trying to figure out ways to control how dirty my current laser is going to get.
Yeah.
Because it's just cleaning powder coat is a dirty job. So,
yeah.
So I cleaned your laser. And while I was doing that, I was playing with mine and trying to figure out proper settings and, speed. There's on your lasers, it's only like speed and power. And then there's current. One called current or threshold.
Yeah.
On mine, because it's a different software, there's like all kinds of different settings. There's speed, there's power, there's threshold, there's how many you control the speed by how many millimeters it moves. Like
millimeters per second. Okay.
Yeah, so it's not a 0 to 100.
Yeah, it's not scale. A percentage.
Yeah, so you know, I was playing at like 500 millimeters a second or 300 millimeters a second or 200 millimeters a second, you know. And then power errors, and then there's, even when you click into it, then you can control the line spacing, how thick or coarse the lines are. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I was playing with like, do I do two passes and make the second pass less lines than the first pass? Do I need to have the same amount of lines? And the answer was yes, because it just starts looking funny. But so that was, I posted something up on social media the other day about, you know, just playing with it and all the different designs. Once I found something, I ran a few test shots around the topo map with a topo TEQ logo.
Oh yeah.
That's a little small because I have a customer that wants a small version of that. And I told him like, I'm probably going to need to redesign it because if I just shrink really it, it'll just get super small and really tight. And so I redesigned that and shot it. And so now I have a small version of that. And that all has just started looking good. Yeah.
Nice.
But there's still a little, there's a massive learning curve on the software that I'm just trying to overcome. And then there's just, it's a different machine. So I've just got to learn different ways to set it up and run it and, you know, different ways to use it. So
nice.
Yeah.
Well, it should be good. The thing that makes it super, super handy for you is you can fit a full panel, tailgate panel, snail armor, into your machine.
Yeah, it can't etch the whole panel.
No.
Not at once.
But you
it has, like, the panels are 50 inches long on a third gen Tacoma, roughly. They're like 52 or something. And it has a 35 inch etching area.
Gotcha.
So I can etch almost an entire panel at once.
Yeah.
I did have somebody reach out that wants an entire topo tailgate panel.
Oh, geez.
so I'm not quite sure how to set all that up exactly, but, and to be able to move it, but actually the new software that I have, you can create marking points,
reference points,
and then you can move your panel and then you can refine those reference points and then continue on. So, I just, those are just one of the things that I just need to learn and, you know, so I can create some cool stuff.
Nice.
Also now I've got a small personal size hurdle of trying to figure out how to do pricing because I was had for a small, you know, design that's already pre-done. It's roughly $30 for a large design that's already pre-done that I made a while ago. It's $50. Well, now what if somebody wants, and then it's $15 more if you want custom because it takes me some time to do computer work.
Yeah. The designing on them. Yeah.
So it's 45 or it's 65.
Mm-hmm.
So what if somebody now, and those, and the large design's a 12 by 12 because that's really all that I could do with the size constraints of the panel and the machine. Well, now I can do the height of the panel
24 by 24.
Well, 24 by 35, 36, right? And so I can etch a massive amount of a panel. So how does that, like, how do I just triple the price for triple the size, you know, or what? And so I've been doing a little bit of research on how people price lasering.
Okay.
And there's just, you know, there's a gamut of answers out there, you know, from you need your design price, you need your setup price, you need your laser time price, you need your cleanup price, you need to add some money just for purchasing the laser, the, you know, to cover your laser costs and, you know, the electricity and, you know, everything else out there. And it's like, okay, well, you know, should I just do a dollar an inch? Like, can I get an easy answer? you know, or something? You know, and if I did something as simple as like a dollar an inch, well, what about height? Does that, like, do I do a dollar a square inch? You know, like, you know, I'm not sure how to answer these questions yet.
Yeah.
So, but I know I will have people that want larger designs already. So I'm kind of like, well, just order that custom large one and we'll do that price at the moment. So here's a, if you want a lot, if you want a panel and you want an extra large design, go order it right now.
Yeah. Right now. Prices are going to be going up soon.
Yeah. Very soon. Once I figure it out, but, but it'll be very soon.
Nice. Well, cool, man. That's really neat. I think it's going to open up some bigger doors for snail armor and some fun things you can do. Cause I know that that's one of the things that kind of sets you apart from, you know, every other panel out there is the customability of the designs on them.
Right. Yeah. And this software, I mean, I was trying to make an analogy to the assistant the other night about the difference of the software from the machine that you have to the software that I need to use for this machine or I'm choosing to use for this machine. And it's like iMovie to Adobe Photoshop or Illustrator, you know, or iMovie to Premiere, you know, it's like this, you know, like
Microsoft Paint,
Microsoft Paint to Photoshop, you know, or, you know, it's like, it's, and what, for what you're doing and what, you know, you have, it's perfect. It's fine. It's not a problem, but there's just, you move up in the software and now the doors are opening more. Like I might, and I haven't tested this yet, but I might be able to shoot full like JPEG photos.
Yeah. Grayscale, JPEG photos.
Like if somebody sent me a photo, a colored image, I take it to Photoshop. I might even be able to do it in the software, but I'll probably take it to Photoshop, grayscale it, move it into the software, and then I might be able to shoot it
grayscale on powder coating.
Powder coating.
Interesting.
I don't know. That's, I mean, it's a it's something I definitely need to try.
Yeah.
I'm going to primarily stick to the black and white stuff just because I think it's clean and it looks good. But yeah, I mean, there's more doors are open because actually this, because it's a big machine and the software. So
nice.
It's exciting. Also, we got a what I like to call the rotisserie, but it's
rotisserie. I like to think of it that way.
So we can start shooting Snail Trail 4x4 growlers or mugs or, you know,
anything round,
anything roundish. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If we want to shoot glasses or whatever we want to kind of do, we can start playing with that as well.
Nice.
Yeah. We can do some Morphlate ones.
Yeah.
How's the Morphlate thing?
The Morphlate thing? What Morphlate thing?
All the business of Morphlate.
The business?
I was trying to take it off of me and throw it onto you.
I was like, I have a few things going on. I don't know if I want to talk about all of them.
Well, you don't have to.
On the podcast. No, Morphlate's going really well. So it's, I mean, it's just staying busy. I'm still astonished at how much people are enjoying and really loving a product that I just made because I was lazy. but I mean, it just also goes to show if you make a really good product and put a lot of thought and design into it to make a quality thing that just works really well at what it does, people will like it. So yeah. You find a niche in the market and go for it. But yeah, things are going really well. We got the Morphlate lasers over here now, and it's currently working over on the other side of the wall there. we've got orders going out. We're all caught up on orders. So we're processing time on orders is down to about 2 to 5 business days. We are getting people that'll like place an order on Saturday and then be like on Monday, hey, just curious when it's going to ship out. 2 to 5 business days.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's, I mean, it's growing. It's, I'm still just impressed by how much it's growing. If things continue the way they're going, then we'll be able to do some really neat stuff, for the business, hire a few more employees, as we get into Q3 and Q4 this year.
Awesome.
So that'll be really neat to see, how much we'll be able to grow and expand, things this year, including product lineups. So, that's all I'm going to say there because I found that, we have competitors and other people that like to listen to the podcast and then take my ideas and, try and use them in their own stuff. So, and then try and, sell them, make money off of them as well. So like, I don't mind if people take and want to like build their own Morphlates at home. Because I'm totally that person as well, right? Like I love DIYing stuff and I get it. Where I have the problem with is when people want to start taking my ideas and then selling them.
Making
their own money off it.
Business, no way.
And yeah, when I was doing Morphlate back when it, you know, I just started it and I was just doing it just to have an extra $500 a month to pay for my off-roading addictions. I was like, oh, whatever. You want to build them and sell them, go for it, you know? But now that I have, it's a corporation and I've got employees that, I'm taking care of and everything, you know, employees' paychecks that they're depending on. I need to start watching a little bit more of the, I don't want to say the competition, but more of the, what we're doing in the future and keeping that a little bit more on the down low. So,
okay. Smart.
Yeah. That's all I'm going to say about, future stuff for Morphlate. So, but we do have some really cool stuff, in the works here. I think we're going to have two, maybe three different product launches, by the end of the year here. So
sweet.
Yeah. Some really cool stuff coming in the works here. One of the big things, and this will tie into what I did this weekend, when I started Morphlate and really started taking it more seriously was that I wanted to, help funnel more funds back into trails, okay. Right? Mm-hmm. That's a big goal of Morphlate. A big goal of mine is to make sure that we continue to put funding back into our trails to make sure that trails stay maintained. They stay open for the entire off-road industry, to enjoy and thrive on. Right. And so last year, we're going through the taxes right now. Right. Mm-hmm. And, last year Morphlate was able to donate, provide, a total value of about $17,400 worth of product, retail value, cash donations, whatever it is, gift certificates, whatever it is. The total donations for Morflate last year were about $17,300, right around there.
That's crazy. That's awesome.
Right? So over $17,000 going back into the off-roading communities, off-roading trails around the nation. So not just local here in California or NorCal or, you know, just in the Western Sierras where I wheel, but definitely trying to make sure that there's more of a push made towards putting my money where my mouth is, right? in the sense. So this year, we've already got a really good start. My goal is I want to get, you know, $20,000 to $25,000 put back into off-road trails nationwide. So, so far this year, we've already got a really good start. I'm not sure how much we're at by any means yet. We'll figure it out at the end of the year when we do the taxes, but, the Rubicon Trail Foundation's Black Tie and Boots event happened this weekend.
Yes, it did.
And so we talked a little bit about it, leading into the previous episodes, leading up to last weekend. And the Black Tie and Boots is one of, if not the largest, a fundraiser for Rubicon Trail Foundation each year. It's been going on for, I think, 12 years.
Wow.
Okay. 13. I think this is the 12th year that it's happened, and they skipped, it was 2 years, 2020 and 2021. So this was the 12th time Black Tie and Boots has happened, and it's essentially like, everybody who has super passionate about the Rubicon Trail and making sure that the trail and the foundation, the 501c3, the nonprofit, maintains funds to be able to spend on keeping the trail open and having access to the public, people buy a dinner. And so the dinners are $100 a plate, $100 per person, I should say. Mm-hmm. And then they do a bunch of other stuff. So you can donate while you're there. And then they had three different auctions going on, or money spending opportunities to buy some stuff, right?
What ones? How?
So they did a silent auction, which is your typical silent auction, a bunch of items listed, put out on tables, and then you get to go like and
a piece of paper
and you just bid against other people that are writing down their bids on the paper.
Yeah. So you just stand next to the one that you want to win.
Yep. And scare people off.
Or whenever they write something down, you just take the pen and write down
a
few dollars are.
Exactly. Yeah. So there was a silent auction. There was a raffle, and the raffle was done where you buy your tickets. And then all the items were put out over a length of tables and with bags in front of every item. And you put your tickets in each bag that you wanted your tickets to go towards that raffle item.
Right.
And then
Somebody drew out of the bag, picked a ticket, and that person wins.
Exactly.
Got it.
Yeah. So there was a raffle done that way. And then there was a live auction done for 8 kind of big ticket items.
Cool.
And so lots of money spending opportunities, lots of fundraising opportunities for the Rubicon Trail Foundation, RTF. And so we'll just start with the rounds, shall we?
Okay, let's do it.
So we've been talking about these rounds for quite a while. They are rounds that I went up and cut off of the big sluice tree. And then you put together a really neat design of the trail and the current trail that most people tend to run it as, which is Loon Lake out to Observation Point. And we even included the new RTF property camping there on the trail as well. And it's got the couple of highlights of the trail, such as, I actually have one of the rounds here. Hold on. Yeah.
That was my favorite one of the rounds.
This one here?
Yeah. That's the one I wanted to turn into the Millennium Falcon.
That makes sense. Okay, I can see it now. That's funny.
Because it has that sort of look of a sort of an egg shape with the top cut off where like, and then that little thing that comes out of the side for where they sat.
The cabin is. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's how this round looks. And I wanted to sort of do that, but we had other plans.
Yeah, we had other plans. But we have highlights on here like Loon Lake, Spider Lake, Buck Island Lake. And then there's the staging area. There's the Granite Bowl. There's Ellis Creek, Walker Hill, Soup Bowl, Little Sluice Box, Arnold's Rock, RTF Camping Area, the Old Sluice, Big Sluice, the Rubicon Bridge, the Rubicon Springs, with the tiny little... I still can't believe the detail got that good,
right?
Of the GPS coordinates there underneath Rubicon Springs, Cadillac Hill, Observation Point, and then the road out to Tahoma and the Rubicon staging out on that side. And then another really neat thing that you did was you labeled where a bunch of restrooms are at along the trail as well.
Yeah, which is a good thing for people to know, but it also was a big benefit from RTF because they were the ones that primarily worked with other organizations to get restrooms out there.
Yeah. Yep. And so I think the design came out beautifully. We ended up doing it on the laser and lasered each of the rounds. So we did three rounds and we donated two to this event for Black Tie and Boots. And I was just thinking in my head, you know, when we came up with these, I was like, these are a really cool idea. We can get some funds going. And I think they could pull, you know, upwards of $400 to $500 per round.
Yeah. And I think what would be good to mention is that I believe the tree fell, the Big Sluice tree fell in October of 2020.
No, I cut it down so that I could cut the rounds off of it.
Okay, so
I'm just kidding. I did.
Yeah, right. It fell like October 2020.
October 2020. Yeah, we had a massive wind event that maxed out the weather station at Spider Lake, which is 150 miles per hour.
Dang.
And so, it knocked and brought down the tree in Big Sluice.
It brought down a lot of trees. It also brought down tree in Big Sluice.
Yeah.
And so, pretty much, we had the idea of kind of doing something with the tree. Like we knew that, like, hey, we need to figure out something and do something with the tree. And then you went up and lopped off some rounds off of the trunk of the part that was up off of the trail and out of the way. And then I think we've been holding on to them for a little, over a year.
Well, we went up and cut them off of the tree in June.
Okay.
So June 2021 is when we cut the rounds off of the tree and they've been drying, quote unquote.
Yeah.
Drying, but not very well. I forgot to stick them in my garage since then.
Yeah. I don't know if sticking them would have helped.
You don't think so?
Well, because I only had one round in my garage and it still cracked.
Oh, gotcha.
So I don't know if that would have saved all that much. Anyways, and then we've sort of, you know, we batting around the idea of what to do with the rounds. And I think we came up with this idea almost as soon as we got the rounds.
Just about, yeah.
You know,
and we had either this idea or the thought was to try and make clocks out of them.
Yeah.
And get like a clock kit that you can turn them into a clock for people. And I was like, that's cool, but they're still really heavy. Like to mount those up on a wall and depend on them as a clock kind of thing. I was like, I think there's some more interesting things we could do with them.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, and then once we knew what we were going to do and we knew that we were going to be donating these for fundraisers, that it was sort of like, okay, when's the big event? When do we need to do it? And then we get it done. I think for the next ones, we need to possibly include Hustle Nuts in there and have them make some little stands.
Oh, that'd be neat. Have some stands. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll talk to them about that. I like that idea. There's two rounds that got donated to this event with this design on it. After we shot the design on the rounds, I sent it a picture of it. And the pictures are on Instagram as well. So you can check my Instagram and the Snail Trail, Jimmy's Instagram.
Did you put it on Instagram or Facebook?
Both.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't see it on your Instagram.
Should be there. I might have put it as a story. And so then it popped over to populates on Facebook stories as well.
Yeah. It's definitely on there because I tagged you as a contributor on my post.
That's what it was. Yes.
So it's on your side too.
Yes. And so I sent that picture over to John Arnes, texted over to him. I was like, hey, look, this is what we did. We're going to be donating it to Black Tie and Boots for the auction, fundraising opportunities. And he goes, wow, that actually turned out really good. That's really cool. You guys should include the Wentworth Springs section on it. And we were like, fuck. You are 100% right, John. And I was like, it's, and I started looking, I was like, if there's not a whole lot of room to put the Wentworth Springs section on there. It's like already the details are getting pretty small. Mm-hmm. And so then I was like, well.
And to my defense, I don't ever fucking go that way.
Right? You hate that
I
way.
I hate that way. And that yeah. isn't the trail.
I know. It's not.
It's not the trail.
Not
it
the
is
trail.
A part to get to the Rubicon. It's actually, I probably is included in the trail, mm-hmm. but it's not the part that everybody runs.
Exactly.
The Some people run it.
Nowadays that run it, they pretty much go Loon Lake up through Observation. Mm-hmm. And so, but, and if you want the historical
route
of the trail, then the Wentworth Springs section is the original Georgetown to Lake Bigler Road, right?
So for the most part, yes.
Yeah, for the most part. There's a little section in there that's been rerouted down to Buck Island. But yeah, the...
And Cadillac. Huh? Cadillac's not the original. Cadillac,
too. Yeah. And so, yeah, we're looking at it, we're like, okay, I hear you, John. I think so the next three, we have three more rounds that we can laser and dedicate to fundraising here. So those three rounds will have the section from Observation out to the Tahoma staging cut off. And instead we'll have the Wentworth Springs side on the trail over on that side, and we'll move everything over. So anyways, they turned out beautiful. These are the designs here.
Before we go too far and I forget, uh-huh. Since I did get my new laser and I joined a Facebook group for laser people.
Uh-huh. the laser people? Is that the name of the group?
No, it's called like OM. The laser I got is called an OM Tech, and it's like OM Tech support and help or
gotcha.
Something.
Gotcha. Okay.
There's some really kind of interesting things that people are doing where they're putting powder coat down. I haven't looked into it too much, but they're putting powder coat down on mm-hmm. a surface and then lasering the surface. And then it's either hot enough to either melt it or burn it or something. And then they can blow the excess away.
Interesting.
So I don't know if I want to do it with these because I don't know much about it yet.
Yeah.
But it'd be kind of interesting to like have red versions or blue versions uh-huh. or yellow versions.
Yeah. But that would be really neat. Jason from Wheeling Wine and Whiskey happened to be coming through town, so he stopped in to take a look at the rounds before we took him up to Black Tie and Boots. And his thought, because the lakes are kind of like dug in, everything's inset, mm-hmm. he was like, what if we put some blue epoxy in the lakes kind of thing? And then another guy, Carl Meyer, he's with the Sierra Treasure Hunters. He has a three-axis CNC router for wood.
Yeah.
And okay. he said that he can cut these as well, and then he can actually do the topography of the lakes.
Oh, wow.
Right? And I was like, what? Okay. So anyways, there's a couple of different ideas floating around. It just kind of depends on, we just don't have extras to play around with.
Right.
So it's like, whatever we do, we have to make sure that we know it'll come out the way we want it to.
Right. And I think this is a good time to also say that all of these rounds are spoken for and you can't purchase them from us.
Correct. Yeah. So that was,
they're all getting donated.
Exactly. So that's kind of the next step. After we were talking about them on the previous episodes, I got a lot of phone calls from people asking if they could just write a check and get one of the rounds. And I was like, no, unfortunately, because A, I don't know the value of them. I don't know how much they're going to go for. I'm thinking they're going to be $400 to $500. They might go for more. They might go for less. I don't know. But B, we really want to give everybody the opportunity to have one. There's only six of them, right? And so we want to give everybody an opportunity to have one. And so that means it needs to be fair. We can't just kind of play favorites and let you have one, even though you're one of our favorite people. We'd love to. I know it means a lot to you.
Yeah. Or you support us one way or another.
You support us another one way. Yeah, exactly. I was like, there's a lot of different ways that I would love to see if we can get you one of these rounds, but I can't do it. And so after everybody had been contacting me trying to get one of these rounds, I was like, shit, these could go for like upwards of $1,000.
That's what I had my mind on.
Oh, really? Okay. Mm-hmm. So going into the event, I'm like thinking maybe at that like top end, if people really fight over it, I think it could be $1,000.
So where were these? What you said there was three ways that there was three
auction raffle
things going on at Black Tie and Boots. Mm-hmm. Where were they? which ones were these in, or were they in the same one or spread out or where?
Yeah, good question. So one was in the raffle and one was in the silent auction.
Okay.
So we didn't have any in the live auction.
Got it.
And so the raffle one, I don't know. So I never bought any tickets.
Oh, so you don't know how much tickets.
So I don't know how much, what was the value of one ticket, but, out of everything in the raffle, that round's bag was the most full.
Cool.
So it pulled the most tickets out of all the items at the raffle. And then for the silent auction, it went for $1,500.
What?
Yeah.
Seriously?
$1,500.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Super, super freaking cool. So I don't know. It's just one of those things. I'm really impressed and by when, you know, like ideas that you and I come up with that are good ideas and people enjoy. I'm even more impressed when the ideas completely outdo and overdo anything that we had imagined.
Right.
So, the silent auction round went for $1,500.
Yeah. Dang.
Yeah. And one of the things that I did, because, you know, I had talked to some other people and they're like, oh yeah, I've got parts of the juniper tree from Little Sluice.
Oh.
And so I've heard a lot of people say that they have that and they're like, but you know, it's just a chunk of wood.
Right.
And it's like, how do you prove that that chunk of wood is from the juniper tree?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so what I did, I was like, you know, that's a good point. If we have these rounds, I mean, they could be from any fucking tree that fell down or got cut down and got lasered
from my yard.
It could have been from Jimmy's yard. Exactly. How does the person winning or, their grandkids or whoever they pass it on to know that this is a really special piece of wood? I put together the story of kind of the genesis story of how these rounds came to be, essentially what we've kind of been going over already, mm-hmm. put it down on a single piece of paper, and then had the Morflate logo, the RTF logo, and the Snail Trail 4x4 logo at the top, and then had a you and me wet sign that piece of paper.
Correct.
And then RTF framed the papers.
Wow. That's
so
cool.
They put them in frames, and the winners of each round also got this verification paper that's been signed by us saying what this round really is, what it really means, kind of thing, right? What's the story behind it? And so I like to hope and think that contributed towards the legitimacy of these rounds now for people in the future. But there's only three of these rounds that are done exactly like this in existence. Two of them are gone. And I think the third one here is going to be get donated to Cal4 during Sierra Trek.
Okay.
And then we've got three other rounds that are going to get done with the Wentworth Springs side of the trail on it.
Shouldn't we just go cut down a tree on Fordyce and do the thing for Fordyce?
Yeah, but it's like there's no famous tree on Fordyce.
The tree falls.
Yeah. Right. Joe Chavez, you didn't hear that. Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of people with a lot of history with the Rubicon Trail, so I think it's going to be really special to anybody up in the area here.
Yeah, I mean, if you're in this area, you'd know both trails well.
Exactly. And there's really, like, on the Rubicon Trail, there's three trees that have been really famous throughout the history of the trail. There's the juniper tree in Little Sluice.
Yeah, that's gone.
That's gone. There's the Big Sluice tree. That's now almost all gone.
Yep.
And then there's Beer Tree.
Oh, true. I was like, what's number three?
What's the third one?
I had Beer Tree on there.
Yeah.
And I took it out.
Yeah. It's got
because it was just too cluttered.
Yeah.
Because like I was going to, like, there's no room for Gatekeeper.
Yeah.
Like, what is the second one up? Is it?
The Granite Bowl.
Granite Bowl.
Yeah.
And I had Beer Tree in that same spot.
Yeah.
And I was like, I think Granite Bowl is kind of more important than Beer Tree.
Yeah.
I mean, they could be with six one way, half a dozen the other, but
yeah, it depends on who wins it.
More
who
gets people know of the Granite Bowl than I think know of Beer Tree. I know people have driven past Beer Tree thousands of times, and then when you go, let's meet a Beer Tree, they're like, "Where's that?
Where's that? Yeah,
like it's in the Granite Bowl." They're like, the "Okay, bottom of the bowl. where in the bowl?" Like, yeah. So,
Yep. So I think that once
I also want to add Snail Hill on there, but I didn't feel right to do so.
Right. Yeah. Hussman recommended that one, and I was like, I would love to, but I don't know if it's the right thing to do.
Yeah. Not for the RTF. Yeah.
No.
Giveaway.
Yeah. So anyways,
we'll do it on the next one.
Maybe. We'll see. So here's the thing is that we have these rounds. All six are allocated out. So we have the one going to Cal 4. We've got one we're going to do a raffle on the podcast. And those funds, I believe you and I talked, we're going to go to Corva.
Yes.
And then we're going to have another round, I think, go to Corva for their quote unquote, their convention, their annual meeting. That's going to be happening at Prairie City on April 30th. So if you're going to be in the area, definitely want to plan on getting out to that one. And then we had a last allocation for the sixth round. And I forget what it was off the top of my head. I've written down somewhere.
Yeah, I don't remember.
But
if we're already giving one to Corva, I might say we figure out another group to donate our money to.
That would be, I would agree.
There's Tread Lightly, there's Blue Ribbon Coalition, mm-hmm. there's other ones out there. And like if we're already donating one to Corva. Well, granted, we're talking about this live while we're trying to figure it out.
So I would,
to some extent, but normally, we can talk about it off air.
Yeah, normally I would say yes, but Corva just did something really, really fucking cool that we're going to talk about on Monday. And I'm a big believer of getting more money into the movers and shakers that are using and making use of the money.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it, make a final decision on that here. And you guys can listen in on Monday as to what Corva just did. So let's see. This whole idea of these rounds.
Isn't one going to go to Rubathon?
That's what it was, Rubathon, okay. The TLCA. Thank you. The talk, there was an ongoing joke all night long about my wood, right?
Wow.
People were, somebody walked up to me and said, have you been paying attention to your wood over there? And I was like, I'm always paying attention to my wood. And she kind of looked at me for a second and then she goes, the rounds. Are you aware of how much money your wood's bringing in? I was like, my money brings in a lot of wood. I mean, my wood brings in a lot of money. My slick sexy likes to kick in. So there was an ongoing joke the rest of the night about my wood and how much my wood kept going up and how often am I checking my wood and how often are other people checking my wood to see where it's at. And
wow,
it was a fun night. So
yeah, too bad you can't make money with that wood.
I know. I need an OnlyFans. So the really cool thing that I enjoyed about that night, like that was just like that was just really neat to see happen and unfold, right? Just this idea that we've been working on for the past year and a half, 2 years almost, come to fruition and see the impact that it can make was really neat. Mm-hmm. What was even more neat was being in a room with these big names in trail advocacy.
Yes.
Being in the same room with all these people that are super passionate for off-road trails and that have done a lot of fighting and a lot of work for our trails. And they have an award that's done every year called the Rock Award.
Oh, okay.
And it is for Rubicon Trail Foundation and somebody who is the rock for that year, right? They are the steadfast, making a huge impact that other people can either lean on or use as a foundational person kind of thing for that year. And so, there's been names that have come up in Rock Awards in the past have been like Del Albright, Mark Smith, who mm-hmm. obviously started the whole Jeepers Jamboree and the concept of having a business focused around bringing money into communities. There's John Arnes has been on it. Steve Morris, who was the founding president of Cal 4.
Oh, wow.
Did a bunch of other stuff with Rubicon Trail, obviously. Let's see. I believe Jack Sweeney is on that list as well, who is Jack Sweeney's grandfather was the person that one of the people that was directly involved with getting the Rubicon Trail marked as a county road.
Oh,
so the Sweeney family has generations, 6, 7, 8 generations, something like that on the Rubicon Trail, which is amazing. And Bob Sweeney is the current president of Jeepers Jamboree. So there's these really big names. Daphne Green, she was a huge, like one of the people that started the adopter trails. She worked for the county. And she had a huge passion for the trail and really got the adopted trail stuff started and figured out what the water board needed to see from the trail.
Got it.
And then came up with a program. And now that adopted trail program is being copied and statewide, if not nationwide.
Yeah, absolutely.
For other stuff. So there's a lot of really, these really freaking cool names of people that have done a shit ton of work for trail advocacy. And so huge, huge shout out and congratulations to Randy Burleson.
Awesome. Congratulations, Randy.
Yeah. Congrats, Randy. Randy. So I've,
who's Randy?
Who's Randy? So
sorry, I don't know who, at least I don't know his name off the top of my head.
That doesn't surprise me.
Okay.
Because Randy is one of the most soft-spoken guys that, the most humble guys and soft-spoken. And so usually when you get that those two mixes in the same personality, you never generally hear a lot about what they do, but they tend to do a lot.
Okay.
Kind of thing. And so, I didn't even know how much Randy was involved with trail advocacy. And like, I've gone out to lunch with Randy a few times. And like, he was doing, the communications for Sierra Trek before me.
Oh, was he the guy that went down to the repeater?
Yes. Okay. That you drove in the F-150 and broke my slider.
Yeah. No. Did I? I gave it a kiss.
You gave it a kiss. So
was
yeah.
That then?
That no, was that the was Sierra Trek.
No, I hit your slider at KOH.
Oh, okay. Anyways, but yes, Randy is the guy that you drove down to the gate so that he could hike down to the repeater.
Okay. That's, I know Randy. Person. Congratulations,
yeah.
Randy.
Yeah. Right. And so I've known Randy for 2 to 3 years now and never knew any of his history with trail advocacy. And like, looking, it was just really neat to hear his speech and kind of learn about how long he's been involved. He's been doing trail advocacy since 2006, 2007.
Wow.
And he was the founding secretary of Rubicon Trail Foundation and the second president of Rubicon Trail Foundation after Del Albright.
Oh, damn.
So Del Albright started Rubicon Trail Foundation, right? Friends of the Rubicon, when they needed to clean up the trail, but before it got shut down, the water board was going to come in and shut everything down. And so they finally created the nonprofit so that the money could be legit, finally. And so Del was the first president. Randy was the second president.
Wow, I didn't know that.
And then Randy's been working in trail advocacy at water board meetings, at county meetings, helping run VIP trips for how many years is that now? 15, 20 years, whatever it is. So he's been very involved. I never knew any of it.
Yeah.
So,
and also, you know, talking about this, it makes me think that we should put rock sliders on your F-150. Just
I've thought about it.
Yeah. Okay.
Especially since the passenger side is all warped and out of shape. So
yeah. Yeah. Especially if you're going to let me drive more.
Yeah. Right.
So, anyways, back to Randy.
Yeah. So anyways, no, that was it. That was, it's just Randy is a really quiet individual. He doesn't talk about himself. He doesn't see himself as a big deal in any shape or form. But to see and finally hear and learn about things that he's done and, realize that he is definitely up there with Mark Smiths and the Steve Morrises of the off-roading world was pretty freaking cool.
Yeah.
So
wow,
that was really the highlight for me that night. And then I got to meet, you know, Ken Hauer. I got to talk to Bob Sweeney again and kind of did the networking opportunity there to
sure.
say hi to these other really neat individuals was a lot of fun. So
were the Allens there?
They were. John and Renee was there.
Cool.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Yep. The Mad Hatters, my off-road club, had two tables.
Dang.
Yep. So we bought two tables and filled up all the seats there. So it was a lot of fun to hang out with the Mad Hatters out at a quote unquote formal event.
Yeah. What'd you wear?
So I wore a color changing purple shirt. So it's like the shirt, when you look at it straight on, is purple. And then you get at an angle and it turns like a silver, metallic, silver gray color to it.
All right.
And so I wore that with a suit, a black suit jacket, and a black tie that was also color changing. So it shifted colors from black to bright purple. So the front side of it was black, and then as it, you know, went up and around the neck and then down to the part that's behind it, it was bright purple when it got down to the end. So I wore those, and then I wore jeans and my hiking boots, my Salomon hiking boots.
Okay. Yeah. So that's, the assistant was like, I can't picture with Tyler with cowboy boots. Does he own cowboy boots?
Nope.
I'm like, I don't think so, but you can wear hiking boots. Hiking boots are boots.
Yeah. Any boot.
Any boot, you know? Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh. Well, I've seen Tyler with hiking boots, so I can picture that.
Yeah.
And his wood.
Yeah.
I mean,
everybody can picture me in my wood. So, especially since there's a picture of the wood out on the internet.
Yes.
So out on Instagram. No, there was, it was
got,
just fun.
It got a lot of likes.
It did. People like my wood. No, there was, some really interesting, ensembles, right? The of clothing apparel.
Oh yeah,
there was one
there
guy.
Always is.
That's one of the things that's like it was hard getting the secretary to understand
that it's not a formal event.
It's not a black tie event,
right? It's more of a boots event than a black tie event.
It is totally. So there was one guy in completely a tuxedo from the waist up. So cummerbund, bow tie, fancy shirt, you know, tuxedo jacket. And then he had on shorts and Sorel boots.
Nice.
And there was a couple people in Sorel boots and jeans with just a really nice upper on, you know, a couple people in bow ties and then just jeans and cowboy boots. And,
yeah.
So it's kind of like this farce, right? Maybe is the way like it's treated.
A bow tie, cufflinks, no shirt, jean shorts, and hiking boots.
So Randy, I got to call Randy out because he's a phenomenal guy and he has a great sense of humor about it. He forgot to bring cufflinks and tuxedo buttons for his shirts. And so he held his shirt together with a zip tie. So he put the zip tie like straight down through, we wove it through the buttons, holes in his shirt. And then for his cufflinks, his girlfriend brought him a grade 8 bolt and butterfly nut.
Oh, that's awesome.
To put through for his cufflinks.
That's awesome.
It was fantastic. I was like, that is amazing. I love it. So anyways, it's just this farce of these super supposed rugged people that care a shit ton about this really rugged environment coming together and quote unquote dressing up or cleaning up.
Attempting to clean up.
Yeah. So it was a lot of fun. Dave McKinney was there. Dave Marlis were there.
Oh, good.
It was funny. They got up to talk a little bit about a Traeger because they donated a Traeger.
Oh, nice.
A grill for the live auction. And he got up to talk a little bit about it. And apparently we're not the only ones that think Dave talks a lot.
Really? Did they everybody tell him to be quiet and sit down?
Jack Sweeney did. Yeah.
Really? So
Jack Sweeney was the auctioneer.
Like, in the middle of his speech, like, thanks, Dave. Appreciate it.
Kind of.
Jack like ended the up Oscar like, music starts going off in the middle of his speech.
Kind of, yeah. Jack ended up sitting down while Dave was talking. And then when Dave was done, Jack goes, okay, next time I'm not inviting you up anymore because we got to get this thing rolling here. Right. Yeah. So it was good. The live auction crescendoed with this beautiful bench that Shannon made.
And who's Shannon for those that don't know?
Shannon is a brilliant artist that paints and redoes the Rubicon Trail sign that everybody takes pictures next to at Loon Lake. And she does it every year, repaints that sign every year. So she does a lot of really cool art stuff for the trail, a lot for the communities that she's involved with. And so she made this wood bench and, the back of the bench was painted the same as the Rubicon Trail sign at Loon Lake.
Cool.
That bench went for $7,500.
Wow.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
How big was the bench? Like as big as a couch?
It was about a 2.5 seater, like a love seat size, I guess.
Dang.
And I don't think it was made out of any particular tree or famous wood or anything like that, but
not like yours.
Not like mine. Yeah. Barb Arnes won it.
Oh,
so yeah.
I wonder if it's going to end up at the cabin.
I guarantee you it'll end up at the cabin.
That's awesome.
At some point, the bidding got up to a bidding war between Barbara and another guy named Jeff. And it got up to $5,500. And so Shannon went over to Jeff and said, hey, if you are willing to pay $5,500 tonight, I'll make you another bench. And so he said, okay. And the bidding was coming down and the auctioneer was getting ready to pound the gavel. And then Bob Sweeney stood up, who's the president of Jeepers Jamboree, and made a speech about how this bench should live down at the Rubicon Springs, not Spider Lake, and that everybody at Jeepers Jamboree should get to enjoy this bench. And so he started bidding on it, and then him and Barb went back and forth, and the bidding went up to $7,500 before Bob backed off and let Barb win it.
Wow.
So I would imagine Shannon is going to be making two more benches, would be my guess. Dang. And getting one down at Rubicon Springs, one at Spider Lake, and then one for Jeff as well. But yeah, it was a really neat night. A lot of money raised for the Rubicon Trail Foundation, which we'll get into a little bit on Monday's episode as well. So cool. Go ahead.
I really kind of wish one of our rounds was in the live auction.
I do too.
I'd be curious to see how much that would have gone for.
To see how people were bidding at the live auction, I think it could have gone for upwards of $2,500 to $3,000.
Really?
Yeah. By how much money people were spending in the live auction going for it. So anyways, yeah, it was a good night. My wood got a lot of jokes. We made some good, really nice chunk of change for Rubicon Trail Foundation. And it's kind of proven that these rounds were a phenomenal idea that we're going to move forward with. So the other thing that's kind of looks like it's going to be coming out of that is people just want the design laser engraved on a round of wood. Really. I mean, they would love to have the big sluice tree specific wood.
Sure.
But people just want the rounds of wood. So one of the Highlanders, Diane Hawks, who's on the board for RTF, has a bunch of down trees on her property. And she said that she wants to donate as much of the trees as we can in order to laser and then sell the rounds for $50 to $100. And donate all the proceeds to Rubicon Trail Foundation. So once we get the final design done for the next three rounds, that may end up being a thing. It's not going to be any special tree by any means, but it'll have some really cool designs out there that we'll be able to, I think, start selling and as a permanent fundraising option, as long as we continue having trees to build them out of.
So, heck yeah.
Yeah. Keep on the eye out, look out for that in the future. Updates on that. On Sunday, I drove from Placerville all the way out to essentially Mount Diablo in Dang. The Bay Area. So a good 3-hour drive.
Hanging out with the father-in-law?
We were up in Placerville hanging up there because the RTF, the Black Tie Boots, was up in Cameron Park.
Okay.
And so we stayed the night up there and I had to give a radio class out in the Bay Area.
I thought you were headed out there to do some radio work with the father.
Oh, gotcha. No.
So it still was radio work.
Okay. Radio involved, yeah. And so it was a fun class. It was the class that I really enjoy doing, which is the how to use your radios class. And a lot of people, when they first get their ham radio license, they get it to get their license, get the piece of paper. And then you get to learn how everything works, right? And so this is the class that, in my opinion, of all the off-roaders should be taking. It's how to use your radios for off-roading. And what are some of the cool things that you can do with ham radio in off-roading situations? And so we went over, made sure everybody knew how to program their radios on the fly. So that if you're out in the wild and you don't have cell service, you can pull up an app on your phone and figure out where repeaters are around you and program in your radio out in the middle of nowhere with no computer. You manually program it.
I don't know how to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I just need to figure out how to find out the PL tones.
Yeah.
Then I might be able to figure it out. But
yeah,
I just don't know how to do that part.
How to put in the PL tones or figure out what the PL tones are?
Yes.
Okay. Perfect. So there's an app out there called Repeater Book. You can download it onto your phone and it will download the entire database of every known repeater onto your phone and where that repeater is located.
And it doesn't need Wi-Fi once it's downloaded?
Nope.
Cool.
Nope. Doesn't need any data connection at all once it's downloaded. So your phone, whether or not you have cell service, your GPS location works independently of cell service on your phone. So if you don't have cell service and you open up Repeater Book takes your cell phone's GPS location and then cross-references it to all the repeaters that it knows about and will tell you where the nearest repeaters are around you.
Genius.
Right? And so what
it is pretty clever.
It is pretty clever. Yeah. And it tells you all the information to access those repeaters around you. So as long as you know how to program your radio on the fly, in theory, as long as you have battery on your phone, you should be able to dial in any repeater around you and get help. So that's the theory behind it. So I go over helping everybody learn how to program their radios, make a little cheat sheet how to program the radios. And then we go and program a couple of the radios that are nearby. And everybody gets a chance to talk on the repeater. And so we hit up one of the repeaters on Mount Diablo. And I just put out there, I said, hey, this is Tyler K6TLR. We're doing a radio class. Is there anybody out there that is willing to be a guinea pig for some of the class members right now, the participants, to just say hi to on the radio and see how their radio works with hitting a repeater from their handheld and talking to somebody? And like three people came back, said, yeah, we'll do it.
That's cool.
So we had everybody in the class take turns talking to the guys sitting around their radios at home and on the repeater. And so they got a little bit of experience talking on a repeater. And then we went into some of the more fun things like crossband repeat, auto patch phone calls through a repeater, APRS, texting via APRS, sending an email with APRS.
I need to learn that too.
Mm-hmm.
Because the weekend when we were out with the Patreon snow camping trip,
mm-hmm.
I was leaving later than I anticipated.
Yeah.
And there was no cell signal down there.
Uh-huh.
And so I really wish I could have just sent a text out.
Yeah.
Saying, you know, haven't left yet, leaving in an hour or something.
Yeah.
You know?
New ETA.
Yeah.
Track me APRS or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So that's a super handy thing to be able to do, send a text message out via radios. And so class was a big hit. We only had about 8-9 people there. And it was all members of the Mad Hatters. So it was a Mad Hatters kind of class. The Mad Hatters are doing a weekend where they're getting people as first aid certified, first aid CPR certified. And then I also ran a class on how to use your radios in emergency situations.
That's really cool.
Yeah. So it was a great weekend overall. A lot of stuff going on. I really enjoyed the whole weekend. Sounds like we got some really good funds going towards some off-roading trails. And we know that the proof of concept is there now that we can get some more funds out of the last four rounds here. So really cool weekend. I enjoyed it a lot. And now I've got to kind of sit down and get some work done on the rigs before the Snail Trail meetup, April 16th.
Yeah. So, just real quick. So we got Rubathon. We have Sierra Trek.
Mm-hmm.
We have the Corva event out at Prairie City.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're doing a raffle
through the podcast.
Yep. Which one do you think will have the least amount of attendance so that if somebody who does want to try to get one of these rounds would have the best chances?
Oh man. Okay, so we've got Rubathon, Sierra Trek, the Corva meeting, and the raffle on the podcast. Probably the raffle on the podcast would be my guess.
You think so?
I think so.
I think the Corva event.
I think the Corva event is going to be fairly well attended. However, I don't think it's going to be attended by people who really appreciate and have a passion for the Rubicon Trail.
Okay.
So,
see, because I think that, but I think are blasting the information out on the podcast about the raffle that we're going to do for one of these rounds
mm-hmm.
are going to hit more people.
You think so?
Then are going to show up to that event.
That's could possibly be true. Yeah. That is going to be true. I think it's going to be true that we're going to reach more people with the podcast. Whether or not people buy raffle tickets is what I'm questioning and concerned. So,
yeah. So if you want one of these rounds,
mm-hmm.
one of the four that are left,
mm-hmm.
those are your four options.
Yep. Yeah.
And I wouldn't rely on one.
No. Try and get as many as you
come
can.
Come out to the Rubathon.
Yeah.
Go out to the Prairie City Corvo event, which is when?
April 30th. Yep.
Out at Prairie City. Go look on Corvo's website. We'll talk more about that on Monday. Mm-hmm. And our raffle, and then what was the other? There's Sierra Trek.
Sierra Trek. And Sierra Trek's a really fun event as well, because you don't have to go on any trails. You can just kind of come and hang out and just buy dinners and hang out at camp the whole time. Right. And you don't need a big rock crawler to get into the event like you do at Rubathon. So the access is wide open, and there's a lot of activities that goes on kind of around camp, a lot of vendors to hang out and see. And there's, you know, historical tours for people with stock 4x4s.
I'm going to go on one of those this year.
The historical tours?
Yeah.
I think that would be fascinating.
I do too. Yeah. I think it'd be really neat to go around and see what's going on in that area. Mm-hmm. I hear so much about the history of that area. Yeah. And what it used to be. And
Summit
everything.
City.
Yeah, yeah, Summit City and everything about it. But I think it'd be really neat to just go and experience it.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. And they do and really.
I'll be probably driving Bobcat. driving around on this historical tour.
Yeah. So anyways, Sierra Trek, Rubathon, the Cal 4 event at Prairie City, and then the podcast here. So keeping ear holes open for those coming up. We'll have more updates as they get closer and more information as they come about. And I think that about does it for this episode.
Sounds good.
Awesome, man. If people wanted to get a hold of us or keep an eye open on social media to figure out, you know, when we're going to start the raffle for the podcast round. How do they do that, Jimmy?
Yeah, you can find us on social media. I'm Snail Trail 4x4 on Instagram. Tyler is over at 4x4 Toyota Tyler.
Woot.
You can get us on email, Jimmy or Tyler at Snail Trail 4x4, or you can call in 916-345-4744. And maybe on April 16th, maybe we'll bring a round out.
Oh, that'd be cool to show.
Highlight and show people what they look like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Out at High Water Brewing.
Yeah.
A little get together.
Yeah. I think that'd be really cool. So, I think that about does it. Jimmy, do you have any final words for everybody out there?
Donate.
And with that, my friends, keep crawling.
I got one for you.
Okay.
How does the moon cut its hair?
With a cheese knife?
It goes to eclipse.
Yeah. Okay. Is that like an internet dive bar?
No.
Okay.